Thanks for checking out the Greater Church podcast today. We're praying that wherever you find yourself on the journey, that this message would be encouraging to you. And now, here's today's message.
Hey, I'm going to be reading from Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. And it says, "Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asking for alms, and fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, 'Look at us.' So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.' And he took him by the right hand and he lifted him up. And immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with the wonder and amazement at what had happened to him." Hey, in this last sermon, last message in 2017, I want to preach to you from this idea, from this subject: laying, lifted, leaping. Laying, lifted, leaping. Come on, let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for everything that you've done, Lord. Father, we're in awe at your majesty, how strong you are, Lord, how you have brought these pieces together. And Father, as we stand at the door of 2018, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would speak to us, that you would encourage us, Lord, that you would direct us, Lord, that you would fill us with your power from your Holy Spirit, Lord, that we would be able to walk out of these doors forever changed, strengthened, empowered, ready to walk into this new season, knowing that you're ahead of us. So, Father, we love you and we thank you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray, Lord. Amen and amen. Hey, Greater Church, can you do me a favor? Can you take about 10 seconds? This isn't a New Year's countdown, but can you take 10 seconds and just make some noise for Jesus? Can we do that? Come on, 10. Come on, he's been good this year. 9. 8. Come on. 7. 6. Come on. 5. 4. 2, keep going. Hey, I'm about to count down to 0. When I get to 0, y'all need to lose your mind. Y'all ready? 2, 1, 0. Come on and make some noise for Jesus in this place. Hallelujah. Woo! Thank you, sir. 2018. New Year's resolutions galore. How many of you guys got your New Year's resolutions already? One, two of y'all. Okay, praise God. For all two of you that have your resolutions, some of you were just thinking, you're like, oh, I forgot about that part of New Year's. You think about it like when you're at the party on New Year's Eve. Hey, but New Year's resolutions, they're good in and of themselves. Think about it. It's this idea that I want to get better. I want to lose weight. I go through that every single year, and I've done better this year, but I still got my muscle in one place. I'm trying to spread it around, but it's still in one spot. But we get these ideas and it's all about getting better. Like, I want to do better in my finances. I want my relationship to be better. It's all about getting better. In 2018, I shifted kind of the idea. We have a friend of ours that wrote this book. And it's kind of all based around this stepping into a new year and just having one word. Like, I just want to have one word that with that word, I can look at everything in my life. And one of the words that I'm toying around with is just this word discipline. I want to look at my health through discipline. I want to look at my marriage through discipline. I want to look at my relation with God through discipline. I want to go away from a New Year's resolution, a list of things that I hope I accomplish, and then 3 months into it, I forgot about it. And I want to kind of start seeing everything that I do through the lens of this one word. And maybe that's something that you can do. But I think in 2018, I think everybody just, they want to get better. It's like being sick. I hate being sick. Anybody like being sick? Outside of Trent, I hate it. Women are a lot better at this than men. And I'm not being a sexist. It's true. Like, women can handle so much more than men. Women get sick. They got a fever of 185 and they're cooking, they're cleaning, they're doing all type of stuff. I get a fever of 99 and I'm up under 14 different sheets. I got every bit of warm clothes that I can. My voice goes like 4 octaves higher. I want my wife in the room with me at all times. Like, it's just the worst. But in reality, man, we just want to get better. 2018, we're thinking it's just all about getting better. And that's the reason why we created this thing called Greater Church. Because we want you to walk into this place. And wherever you find yourself on the journey, man, if it's not the best season of your life, we want you to walk in here, grab some practical handles that you can actually live out your faith, actually live out a better life. We created this so that a person can walk in here, if they're broke, hurting, lost, for them to encounter this God that brings the broken pieces back together, a God that will heal their hearts, and that they can actually be found in a family of God, that they can belong somewhere. Somewhere is Greater Church. That's why we created this thing, because we want people to encounter the gospel. And I tell you that this is not the picture of where we pick up this story in Acts chapter 3. This church was completely flipped upside down at this moment. Why? Because these men, or these religious leaders, for years, for hundreds of years, they were waiting for this Messiah to show up. They were in slavery. We talked about this last week. And they were waiting for this Messiah to show up to come and save them from their mess where they were in and their slavery and deliver them from all of the Roman government that they were around. And they were expecting for this guy to come. And all of a sudden, he doesn't come the way that they want him. But this guy rises up, this other guy. And he starts talking nonsense to people all over the place. They're watching as miracles happen because of this guy. And all of a sudden, this guy who was just kind of a normal common man steps into the picture and begins to defy the very religious leaders of the time to their face. At the time, that's a big no-no in this religious climate that you find yourself in, because these were men of high standard that wouldn't be disrespected by anybody. Yet this man was disrespecting them to their face. So they formulate a plan. They kind of create this framework of lies where they start grabbing people and paying them so that they can get what they need. And it's to get this guy out of the picture, this liar out of the picture. The scene comes about where this man is hanging out with his friends, and in an episode of Cops, they rush him and they arrest him. And everything kind of ensues in that moment where this man gets brought. They start beating him up and they destroy this guy, they punch him, kick him. They make a mockery of this guy. And then they have this fake trial where these liars come in, and all to the end that this man gets sentenced to death for absolutely nothing. He's executed and he dies. And the religious leaders at the moment think, oh, we're good. We got him out the picture. That liar is no longer infiltrating us or planting lies in our people's brains. And all of a sudden, a couple of days later, a few days later, they start hearing from people. We saw that guy that you murdered. And it wasn't a ghost. He was actually in person. And little by little, they keep hearing about it from here and there. And up to 500 people are saying that they saw this liar that they had already killed. And all of a sudden, as they go through everything, they hear of this huge commotion. All of this cult, they used to meet up at this one spot. And they always would do things at this one spot. And all of a sudden they heard. Why? Because it was a religious festival that was going on. The Bible says that there were Jews from all over the nation, every tongue that were in this place. All of these Jewish people were there. And I hear about this complete insane incident that happens where these people are speaking in the tongues of every single person that is there. And as they go to visit this place, they start to see that the guy who they were looking for is no longer there. If you haven't figured out at this point, his name is Jesus. But the disciples, the men and women that were baptized with the power of the Holy Spirit, Peter stands up and he begins to talk about the grace of God. The leader that they thought, if we kill the head, the body is dead. All of a sudden, you killed the head, you cut it off, and there's 12 other heads that have come up. And now the church is completely upside down. Why? Because there was a certain level of leadership that believed that the law of Moses was what they received and you had to obey it. But then there was this other side of religious fanatics, a cult, because they didn't even have a name at the time, for they first received the name Christians when they were at Antioch. This cult of the way, they were healing people. People were coming back to life. Demons were being cast out. And these religious people were saying, these guys are doing it by demons. And they're saying, no, we're not doing it by demons. And they say, you are, because there needs to be blood sacrifice for a person to be healed. And then these guys are saying, no, they don't have to have any blood sacrifice. It is by the Spirit. And the Spirit of God is willing to heal and to save. And there was this bickering and going back and forth between these two different elements. And in the church, we pick up the story of Acts chapter 3, where the Bible says that as they were going into the church, there was a lame man on the side of the wall who was asking for money. Isn't that a picture sometimes of what life can look like? Well, we're fast. We got things on our plate. It might not be arguments, but we're preoccupied with a lot of different things. And sometimes we can easily, mistakenly pass by the one person who is in need. I love New Year's resolutions, but if I'm honest with you, New Year's resolutions are selfish. Because a lot of the time, they're all about you. They're all about how I'm going to get better. What if we shifted our mind and we said, this New Year's resolution, I want it to be about others. What if I actually put my focus on others? I'm going to take that guy of work, the guy that keeps trying to show me porn on his phone, and I'm like, bro, I don't want to see that. The guy that keeps telling me, hey, look at that girl's behind, and I tell him, hey, I don't want to do that, bro. I'm a believer. That guy, I just want to take him to lunch. You know what evangelism is? We tend to get real complicated with evangelism. That's what we're going to talk about, this in simplicity when we start our series in January. But evangelism, we think it's this moment where it's like, I'm going to slay you in the spirit and that person's going to drop and they're going to start speaking in tongues and that's it. I did evangelism. Evangelism sometimes is just a conversation. It's just saying, hey, I'm going to pay the $12 and I'm going to take you to Wendy's. Let's sit down. I just want to talk to you, man. Let's hang out after work, man. I just want to get to know you a little bit. In that, the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus, he begins to give you words. He begins to tell you what to say to this person. You will sit there and you will start talking about things that you didn't even know that we've been there. We've already experienced that. Most of us, we've known that. We sit there and we're like, how did I even say that? Like, hey, give me a second. Let me write that down because that was good. You know how many times I've preached to you messages that I've been talking to people and it just came out and I was like, give me a second. Hold on. I got to send this text. And I'm actually writing it down. Why? Because it's the Holy Spirit in you. Evangelism is as simple as a conversation. What if in 2018 we said, when we're shifting our idea from having to fix me, and I want to step into this place, man, where other people actually become my want, my desire, that I actually can see them. This lame man, the Bible says he was sitting there next to the wall, and I can only imagine this is this big shift in our thinking. There's this big shift in the thinking of the religious leaders at the time where they were thinking, this is the way that we have to do it. And they missed the very reason why it is that they were there for. Why was he outside of the church? Why wasn't he in the church? If he had a physical need in his body, why didn't he go inside the church to receive much more than just a couple of coins? Because it's a sad day when hope in the local church dies. When a person thinks that I'm not going to go into that church because nothing's really going to happen to me when I walk into that church. I'm still going to be the same. Those are a bunch of religious nuts that they sing hymnals and they sing these songs and they raise their hands. But my life is not going to be affected or changed because of that. Their perspective is completely thwarted. And a lot of the times it's because believers, people who hold the microphone just like I do, Christians who sit in seats just like you do, paint this picture of God that has nothing to do with God. And people, as they see this picture, they're broken, they're hurting, they're lost. I don't want to be a part of that. That's not going to help me. It's not going to move me forward at all. This lame man was sitting outside of the church walls, and I can only imagine that all he wanted was just a couple of coins. This man who was lame, the Bible says that he was lame from his mother's birth. In his mother's womb. That would have been weird. But this man was lame. He couldn't walk. He was stuck there. Couldn't move. He couldn't do anything. And it's crazy, though, because we've seen this in so many people's lives. that there are times when one area of weakness produces another area of strength. What do I mean? I'm thinking about a Ray Charles or a Stevie Wonder who have no sight, but they have impeccable hearing. When things go off in one area, there's other areas that tend to get strengthened. That's why I believe it. There is women who are married. You have strength and there's a beauty in and of yourself. You are amazing because you're married and you know how to live life and you're a great mother and you're a great wife. But there's a strength that gets built inside of a woman when they don't have that second counterpart, which is a husband, and they have a bunch of kids. It changes a little bit. Why? Because, yeah, the woman who is married has strength and is amazing, but the woman who doesn't, there's this other stuff that starts growing inside of her. There's a strength that starts getting built inside of her. Why? Because she's the one that gets up in the morning, gets the kids dressed, gets them in school. She gets up, she goes to work, she does everything that she needs to. She picks the kids up, she takes them home. She's the one that goes outside. She goes to Publix or if you're from Miami, Sedanos or Winn-Dixie or one of those, and they go to Kroger's and she does all of the shopping. She walks up and down the aisles by herself. She purchases everything off her own money. She puts everything inside of her bag. She brings it out to the car and she pulls up to her house and she goes up and down 3 flights of stairs with 6 grocery bags in each arms 3 different times so she can put it all over. She puts everything on the counter. She puts everything away. Then she thaws out the chicken. She cuts up the vegetables. She puts everything together to make a beautiful meal for her kids. She serves the meal. Hands the meals to the kids. Once the kids are finished, the same mother is the one that actually cleans the dishes. She's the one that tucks in the kids to go to bed. If they act up, she's the one that gives them papao, but she's also the one that says, come here, baby, and hugs them and cares for them. There is a strength that is built up inside of a woman who doesn't have this extra piece of a husband because of what's lacking. God is always going to give the strength. There's something about a woman that doesn't have a man in her life that she knows what an alternator is. She knows how to do an oil change. She knows how much gas she could put in. Why? Because in your weakness, God is always going to be made strong. There are things inside of you that you may feel weak and you're stepping into 2017 and you're like, man, I don't know how I'm going to be able to do this. And it's like, if you would only move away from this idea of your ability and you would move to God's availability, you would see what it is that God wants to do in your life. This man who's sitting outside, the Bible says that all of a sudden he's introduced to the new Peter. Everybody say new Peter. This is the Peter that denied Jesus. This is the Peter that cursed 3 different times. This is the Peter that pulled out a sword and cut the dude's ear when they were trying to arrest Jesus. Yeah, recibe, and cut off his ear. But yet this is the Peter now who has preached a beautiful sermon, but all of a sudden he's heading into the church and he encounters the very reason why he does ministry. The Bible says that Peter looks intently at the man. The man says, hey, let me hold something. Can I have some money? The Bible says that Peter looks at him intently. This word intently, it's what you use when you're a predator. So like a lion looks intently at what it is about to attack and then eat. What if in 2018 we use that word intently and we filtered everything we do with that? What if the person who is in the cubicle across from us, we look at them intently, they're going to come to know who Jesus is? What if we actually take time to talk to the waitress who is at the restaurant and we look at her intently and we say, this woman is coming to know the Lord? What if there's some people that you meet in different areas? It could be at the park, at a bus stop, wherever it is. And what if you were to look at that girl and you were to say, I need her to know Jesus? Ah, Chino, that's not my calling. That's on you and the leadership of the church. No, that's every believer. We are supposed to be the hope for this world. As Christians, we are a lamp that's set on a hill. We are the ones that are supposed to be doing this stuff. What if God was to unpack her story to you and show you every single bit of heartbreak that she's been through, every lie that has been told to her, every person that has walked away from her? Would that make you feel a little better to reach out to her? What about that one kid that his perspective of church is completely screwed? He thinks that he can never come into the church, that there's never going to be a body of believers that are actually going to accept him because of his past and because of his mistakes, because of everything that he's done, because of every church that he's walked into, because of every relationship that he's encountered. They have turned around and backstabbed them. What if God just has a word for you to say to this person to bring them to Jesus? They have no idea that there's a church right here in Kennesaw/Acworth, Georgia called Greater Church, that if they walk through these doors and they smell like weed or they smell like alcohol, they might be dressed in a different gender than their own, that it doesn't matter, that we love them, that we accept them, that we believe that there's a God that's going to do the cleaning up, that we believe that there's a God that actually cares for them enough to not leave them where they are, but as they are, they can come to him. What if we were able to tell the world that? I want it. I want to walk through those doors. I want to be a part of a non-judgmental, judgmental church. I want to be a part of a place that we accept anybody. And they walk through these doors and they receive the freedom that they're so desperately looking for. What would happen in 2017 if we became that church? We shifted our ideas and put it onto men and women. If we looked at them intently, what are the things that God would do if that was us? This man, he's sitting there, the lame man, and he's sitting there and he's asking Peter and he's saying, can I get some money? He was looking for something, but Peter shifted his thought, shifted his idea and took him away from looking for temporary. And he said, look up. And he tells this man, look up at me. Sometimes that's all you got to say to people, man. You just got to redirect and point them towards Jesus. You don't have to have the best eloquent speech to tell a person how to come to Jesus. You don't have to know about the dichotomy of how the hypostatic union of Jesus, how he is man and God. You don't need to know all of that stuff. You just got to tell them, look up, because I did. I was broken, messed up. I was lost. I didn't know which way was up and down. I had some pretty bad situations in my life, but all I did was look up. And at the moment that I casted my cares on Jesus, I confessed him with my mouth and I believed in my heart. My life was completely transformed. That story is way believable than you sitting there quoting Habakkuk chapter 2 verse whatever. They want to hear your life. And all you got to do is just tell them, look up. All you have to do is point to Jesus. This man, the Bible says that he looks up, and Peter's sitting there talking to him, and he looks up eagerly, the Bible says. And he looks up eagerly at Peter as though he was about to receive something. Man, that word eagerly means a lot of different things to people. I'll paint the picture in just a second, but 2018, it would be really cool if we entered it eagerly expecting God. Why? Because some of us, we're so far away from the word eagerly. We've been through situations in our life, man. There's been people that have come in and out of our life, relationship, businesses, et cetera, and et cetera, that we don't get excited. We don't get hyped up about anything. Because we tend to think to ourselves, they're going to be just like that person was. And this situation is going to be just like that situation was. And we apply every failure, every mistake, every pain, every heartache to every single situation that we encounter. And as we walk in, we don't hold people to face value. No, we think that they are the same as the liar, the person who stole from me, the person who broke my heart. We don't get eager for anything. There's nothing that makes us excited. But then there's another side of this spectrum and some of us that are way too eager. And we'll be in a relationship and we love the person we're in and we got them all on our Facebook, on our Instagram, boo, hashtag, MCM, Man Crush Mondays. And we do everything, Woman Crush Wednesdays. We do it all, the pictures. And as soon as you break up, you spend about 3 hours erasing every single one of their pictures. But then you go eagerly back into another relationship because you're eager. This is going to be different. They're saying it a lot different than the other guy. And you walk into it. You can apply this to some business transactions that sometimes we head into. In 2017, we know that there were some situations where, just an example, there was a product that you said, I'm going to purchase this product for $100 and I'm going to sell them. And all of a sudden you look in your closet and all of the product is still sitting in your closet 6 months later because you eagerly stepped into a season and you would eagerly go into something that you had no business going into. Some of the decisions that we're dealing with right now is because we stepped into a season eagerly that we had no business stepping into because we didn't count on God. There's a middle ground in the middle of this. That middle ground is faith. There's actually this middle ground that God is actually wanting you to do where you don't get super gassed up and super excited and super eager about everything, but at the same time that you actually believe that man's promises, though they may break them, have nothing to do, nor do they alter God's promises. Because God is faithful and true, and he's going to do it regardless of what everybody did. There's this middle ground that we need to possess where we need to say, I know that God is going to do something good in my life. 2018, I'm an optimist. I'm an optimist. I believe that God is going to do the best in my life. I trust him. I don't trust what a man says, but I'm an optimist by nature. Why? Because I'm never going to be a pessimist. I'm never going to sit there and expect bad things to happen in my life. You know how many bad things have happened in my life for me to sit there and think that bad things are going to happen? That's not who I want to be. I want to be the type of person that I believe the best out of every situation. Then I know that God's hand is in the middle of it. What am I going to sit here expecting for bad things to happen? Why would I even think that? Stepping into 2017, I think there's this middle, 2018, I think there's this middle ground that you can find, and it's faith. It's having faith in God and understanding that he's actually caring for you, that he's actually ahead of you. You know that 2018, Jesus is already there. He's already preparing the way. He's already got that relationship in place. He's already got that job. He's already got the finances. All he's expecting is for you to take the first step. You might take the first step and land on your face. Get back up because Jesus is still there. He's still ahead of you. He's still taking care of it. He's still working it out. He's still in charge. The media might not allow you to see that. Politics, social unrest might not allow you to see that. But do you know that God is still on the throne? That he's still in charge. This man, he looks up eagerly as to expecting something from Peter. And Peter turns to him and he says, silver and gold I do not have. I don't have the temporary. If we're honest with each other, think about it for a second. I am pretty sure that Peter and John, or one of them, they had to have a couple of coins in their pocket that they could have gave that guy. Like practically speaking, like think about it. I don't think they walked out the house broke. I think they actually, 2018 is a total, or 17 is a totally different story. Everybody walks around with credit cards, but I'm pretty sure they had a couple coins in their pocket. But they knew that that's not what this guy needed, though he wanted it. They knew that that's not what he needed. They could have gave him a couple quarters, and at that moment, they would have satisfied the temporary in his life. But that wasn't what they were looking for. They were satisfying the eternal. They wanted to make sure that this man's entire life. Do we do that with God, though? Do we ask God for silver and gold? I ask God for silver and gold because I need some money. But praise God, is that the mentality that we have, that all we're asking is for the temporary? 2018, man, you got to pray some big, big prayers. What if we stepped out and actually put things in front of God that even we laugh at ourselves? God, this is what I want you to do and what I'm believing for you to do. I think it's a great thing to go to your job and to ask for a raise. I think it's important. I think it's a great thing. Be careful how you do it because you can end up getting fired. But for the most part, I think it's a great thing to ask your boss for a raise. But what if in 2018 we shifted our idea from, I'm going to ask my boss for a raise to like, I want to search for the right school. And I want to start learning in this area that I want of growth. I'm going to start getting some mentors in my life. Some people that are doing exactly what I wish I would be doing. And if I was doing it, I wouldn't consider it work because it's fun. I'm going to look for those people. And I'm going to just take $30 and I'm going to just invite them. Let's go to Jay Christopher's. I'm not going to tip the lady because I ain't got that much money. But I'm going to make sure that he eats good. And I'm going to sit down and I'm going to talk to this person. What if in 2018 we shifted our thought from just asking, hey, God, I want to raise, help me, to actually saying, hey, God, I want to start my own business. I want to go to school because I want to start learning this thing. I want to get some leaders around in my life because I don't want to be the person that's asking for a raise. I actually want to be the person that not only is giving people employment, but I actually want to be giving other people raises. I want to be a blessing in other people's lives. I want to do what you called me to do. I want to be financially protected and secure in it, but I want to make sure that I'm doing it. And I'm not spinning my wheels 10 years out doing the same thing that I hate doing. But in 2018, I'm actually going to write that book. I'm actually going to make that song. I'm actually going to start that business. I'm going to get some people around me because I actually want to take some steps. God is always going to use people. But where you are in the season, if you're uncomfortable with it, I'm living my dreams, y'all. We're living our dreams right now. But if you're in a space where you've been uncomfortable for so long, what if in 2018 you just said, I love the provision, God, thank you for providing for me. The provision is not the promise. God has so much more, and I want that so much more. Come on, if you believe it, make some noise in this place. If you're ready to receive that, would you make some noise in this place? Silver and gold, I do not have. I don't have the temporary for you. My worship team to come up. I don't have the temporary for you. What I do have, I give you in the name of Jesus. Rise up and walk. Rise up and walk is such a crazy statement. Like, it doesn't make sense in my brain for Peter to ask this man to rise up and walk. As a matter of fact, I feel it's a little disrespectful. This man was lame from birth. He can't rise up and walk. His legs don't work. But Peter knew something else. Isn't it funny? My whole life, and maybe you can agree with me, my whole life, I thought that God wouldn't ask you to do anything that you can't do. Like, this whole greater church thing, us stepping out on faith, leaving financial security, all of our friends, our family, and coming up here and doing this thing, I thought, man, God is never gonna ask me to do something that I can't do. I thought it was in the Bible. You know that that's a lie? You know that God always asks you to do things that you can't do. There was this man who had a withered hand in the temple. He couldn't open his hand, and Jesus told him, stretch forth your hand, and this man opened up his hand. Lazarus was dead for a few days inside of a grave, inside of a cave, wrapped up. And Jesus told him, Lazarus, come out of that cave. What? Lazarus came out of that cave. Jairus had a daughter who was 12 years old, and this girl had died. And Jesus walks up to her, and he's in the house. He kicks everybody out, and he walks up to the little girl, and he says, little girl, arise. And this little girl gets up. God is always going to ask you to do things that you can't do, because it's not about your ability in doing those. It's just about your availability and trusting God and having faith that he's actually going to do it. He's always going to be asking you to do things that you can't do. It's just a part of life. It's a part of who he is. And it's annoying sometimes. But you got to have enough courage. You have to muster up enough faith to believe that if he asked you to go through it, he put it inside of you. If it's his will, it's his bill. If he told you to do it, then you're going to place it right back on there. Now, I'm not telling you to go out there and do some stuff that you thought you had a good idea about, and then you run yourself right into a brick wall, and you have to deal with the decisions that you made, not a decision that God made. Because the moment that God makes things for you, like I said just a second ago, he goes ahead of you. He's already in 2008 preparing that stuff for you to do it. Rise up. That's the MO of who God is. A God that will take you wherever you are, as messed up as we are. It's this idea of a potter, right? The potter is spinning, or the clay is spinning, and the potter is always building it up. Yeah, there's pieces that may fall off. Sometimes it may feel like that pottery or that clay is just spinning out of control, but the master's hands are on it. The potter's hands are on it, and it's just building it up, and it's building it up. And I think this is the picture of what God wants you to look like. Spin out of control. Allow me to have my hands around you. Allow me to keep building you up, because at the end of the day, the finished product is going to be beautiful. That's the MO of who we are here at Greater Church. We're not going to sit here and beat you down because of how bad you are, how much sin you have in your life, how bad you've been in your past. I've heard about you. That's not our MO. We're not going to sit here and bash you about everything bad that you've done. No, we want you to rise up. We want you to be better the moment that you walk out of these doors than the moment that you came in through these doors. We want your life to reflect everything that God has put inside of you. We want every single miracle that God does in your life for somebody else to hear about it and for them to encounter the very same miracles that you have. Come on, if you believe it, make some noise in this place. Rise up. The Bible says that this man, he gets up. It's a crazy thought that this man who was once lame, this man was lame from his birth. The Bible says that he would have men and women that would bring them to him. And this man was laying on the ground. Peter stretches out his hands. Peter grabs him. And all of a sudden, it's like something beautiful happens because, and I'm going to preach this message one day. I wish I had time right now. I don't have time. I wish I had time right now. But it's this idea of somebody else's strength can actually get you on your feet. Woo! That was weird. I don't know why I did that. Like, my knees buckled. That was just weird. But like, somebody else's strength can actually get you up. Man, this is the type of people that I want in my life in 2018. I don't want people that are going to push me down, tell me how weak I am in certain areas. Or, Chino, man, you don't do this right, or you don't do that right. You know you messed that up. You know you did this. I don't want those type of people in my life in 2018. I want people in my life that are actually going to encourage me and push me up. Hey, listen, there's some areas that I think you need to work in. I'm going to step into that area. Chino, let me help you in this season. I want God to bring those type of people. I don't want yes men. I don't want a bunch of yes men that are like, oh, yes, do this. I'll do this. I'll do whatever you want. But at the same time, I don't want a bunch of no men that don't want to do anything. I want a bunch of people that God will bring around that'll actually push me forward and actually put that hand down and lift me up. Those are the people that I'm praying for, and I pray that you prayed for, and I pray that you become the person that actually puts your hand down and lifts somebody else up. Because something happens with this man who was laying. And all of a sudden, the Bible says that Peter lifts this man. At the moment that he lifts him, this man goes from being lifted to leaping. And it says that he started running and leaping into the church, and everybody knew this is the guy that was lame and begging for quarters. What a miracle. This guy who was lame is now lifted up by Peter, and then now is leaping. Praying that that would be the story of 2018 for your life. There's some areas in your life that you know have been laying dormant for a very long time. Some ideas, some creativity. There's some things that you know God gave you that call for, and they just kind of been laying there. I'm praying that right now in this moment, that this word that God has given you, that it would allow it to be lifted. But what I can't do, what this incredible worship team can't do, is that we can't cause you to start leaping. Because leaping, that's God's miracle. That's God's job. But I'm praying that in 2017, that the things that were laying and are now lifted, that God would propel you into a season where you start lifting, where you're no longer asking God, solve my problems, Jesus. But that God starts using you to solve other people's problems. That the negative things that come to your life, that you're no longer asking, get these things away from me. But that you're actually repurposing them, and you're taking the pain that you've experienced it, and you're using it as a platform. God, show off in the middle of my sickness. Show off in the middle of my financial lack. Show off in the middle of this relationship that's broken and it's probably not gonna last very long. God, show off. Take me from a moment of laying there to a moment of being lifted up. And then take me to a moment of leaping where I'm able to see your glory in everything that I do. Hey, would you bow your heads and close your eyes all over this place?
Thanks for listening to our podcast today. The mission of Greater Church is to reach the lost and empower the found. We pray this message met you wherever you find yourself on the journey. If God is using this ministry to impact your life, please help us to continue to spread the word by investing today. You can give at greater.church. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast and follow us on social media at MyGreaterChurch.